running your own business. You already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, State of Jefferson. I'm not sure if I'm on there, Bob, am I? Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. I hope you guys are enjoying your early Sunday morning here in the State of Jefferson. And we will not have the mouse with us today. Her husband is once again out defending the country with the National Guard. But as always, it's a pleasure. We have Wynn Carpenter, Shasta County here. Morning, Wynn.
Good morning.
And how goes things in good old Shasta County?
Well, so far, so good.
Yeah. Understand we had a pretty good turnout at the
Intermountain Fair.
At the Intermountain Fair last weekend.
Yeah, Labor Day weekend Intermountain Fair up in MacArthur. Wonderful event. Great patriots. And people are seeking us out. We had a Jefferson booth in the exhibit hall out in there. And just it was a good experience. And the people were coming out of the woodwork left and right. And we had great volunteer group running the booth.
Right on. That's I heard phone calls from other groups that were up there going, man, that Jefferson booth sure was busy.
Yep, yep. You know?
And over another 1,000 signatures, I think, up
there? Yes.
Yep. And got the crew out working the Honeybee Festival in Palo Cedro this weekend, correct?
Yep, and yesterday they raked in some numbers and hopefully plan to do the same thing today.
Fantastic. And that's it's good to see that proceeding along in Shasta County and the will of the people being expressed in that manner. For those of you that missed last week, we actually have three new counties on the way that are going to be carried by signatures of the people, and that's going to be Trinity, Sierra, and Colusa County. Trinity County is actually going to be going before the Board of Supervisors here in just a couple days, Tuesday, at September 15th, in Weaverville at the Board of Supervisors, where they'll be taking a vote on whether or not to support the Declaration of the People or to jump off the cliff.
There you go.
So that's very exciting, and we're hopeful for a good resolution in Trinity County, especially now that they see how much of the will of the people is behind this.
Yeah.
You know, we've been trying to get Trinity County on, and was one of the issues we made a great deal of headway. Then some of the supervisors that we were dealing with decided not to run. We had a whole new set of supervisors that needed education on the subject, and then they've had issues to deal with, everything from overgrowth of marijuana to funding. They went $40 million in debt. The massive wildfires. Trinity County's had a lot on their plate,
yeah,
and are finally getting a chance to look at it. And Sierra County actually moved so fast that they had more signatures than they needed before they even got a chance to do a presentation to the board.
Which is good.
Yeah. And Colusa County's had one presentation to the board. Several of the city councils down there in Coosa County have signed resolutions, and they make up a good portion of the county. So we're looking for, we think, a pretty good resolution there from the Board of Supervisors. El Dorado County, we think, is probably going to get a vote out of the Board of Supervisors here very soon, and we're thinking that'll be positive. And then we've had Amador and Calaveras County now that have actually asked, hey, can we have someone come and talk to us and speak about the state of Jefferson? We're interested in getting in.
There you go.
So the movement that everybody said 2 years ago was never going to go anywhere is growing and growing and growing.
Yep.
And it's fantastic to watch, and people are getting it.
Well, in California, every day California gives a reason to exit.
I know they can't help themselves. it's almost clinical. It's
like watching a car wreck.
It is. It's like watching a car wreck in slow motion, and they just every day they continue to give us things. You know, now the head of the Senate, Kevin DeLeon, and Jerry Brown are working together. They want to reduce gasoline use in the state by 50%.
Oh, good luck.
How do you accomplish that in a state that lives and dies on its highways?
Yeah.
I mean, really, in the transportation, the number one thing that you're trying to kill is the transportation. You know, I the logic behind it is staggering, unless there's a separate agenda going on.
Well, which there is. They want to get us all out of the rural areas and stack and pack down and wherever it is they're going to plant everybody.
And that's absolutely true. They don't want us out here.
Nope.
You know, if we can just build a high-speed rail that my friend Senator Dianne Feinstein and her husband make $1 billion off of, and we just get everybody to live within 10 miles of that rail line, and you know, then we'll save the planet, and we can depopulate and do all of these wonderful things. And
sure.
Yeah, it's its own insane religion, I guess.
Not my God.
No. No. My God says we're provided with everything that we need. So, and so exciting things are going on here. Did you have a chance to see Janet Chandler, who's running for District 3 supervisor?
I did, and that lady is amazing.
Is she not?
She is awesome. And her great husband, Harold, he is there with us. We worked together in the booth for a while, one of the evenings, and every former student she ever had, I swear to God, came through there. And Mrs. Chandler, they gave her a big old hug, and then she explained what we were doing. And, oh, hey, yeah, no problem. They'd sign up, and then she'd say, now, you see anybody out there that's ever been in one of my classes before? You send them back in here. So it was just like a steady stream. They kept coming in. It was awesome.
Right on. And see, that's one of the things I think that you find in the rural communities that you don't get in the urban communities. You get things like that, you know, people coming back and seeing their teacher and going, hey,
yep,
you know, now that I'm not so young and dumb, thank you for everything that you did. And,
right.
You know, and the level of respect there from her students ought to say something about the lady. You know, I've had the blessed opportunity to get to meet her and talk with her, and fantastically knowledgeable.
Yes.
Her heart and her head are in the right place, and I'm looking to her sitting on the Board of Supervisors.
She's a straight shooter, and she tells it how it is,
mm-hmm,
and doesn't sugarcoat it. She's honest, and it's genuine. It comes from the heart. You can tell.
It does.
And the beauty of it was, too, with her former students, several of them are military or former military now, and they, you know, just the conversations that were going on were wonderful to witness.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's her sons are military, too, I believe.
They are, yes, so career military, both of them.
Yep.
Yep.
And her father was actually a Shasta County judge.
He was a judge. I don't recall what county, but he was a judge, yes.
I thought it was Shasta.
And police chief. He was a police chief.
Oh, I did not know about the police chief.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we'll have to ask her about that and clarify that, but I do know that he was a judge. And one of the things that I find exciting about Ms. Chandler's, as you said, it comes from the heart. You can tell when she speaks. There's no politicizing. There's no BS. There's, you know,
no game playing.
There's no game playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she understands that you have to put Shasta first.
Right.
That it's her job to promote the interests of the people of Shasta County and not just rubber stamp anything that California or the feds want to do to us and then enable that to happen.
Right, and she totally gets that because she lives in Bernie, and so she understands what's going on. She sees it firsthand, you know, all the stuff that she would be dealing with. She gets it.
Yeah, she sees the water issues. Yep. She sees the wildfire issues. She sees the grazing issues. She sees everything firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, rather than be one of these people that just want to capitulate and stick their head in the ground and hope the man doesn't come looking for them, she's a fighter. She's a scrapper that's going to stand up and just say, no, you're not going to do this.
That's right.
So with that, we probably better sneak off to our first break. And we'll see you on the other side. If you guys have questions or comments, you can call in at 530-605-4567.
The only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions including classics like sweet potato fries, U202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite Mai Mai Almondine. Also new 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202-226-8439. That's 226-8439.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
They're whispering his name through this disappearing land, but hidden in his coat is a red right hand.
respect. You feel like an insect. Well, don't you worry, buddy, cause here he comes through the ghettos and the barrio and the valley and the slum. His shadow is cast wherever he stands. Stacks of green paper in his red right hand.
I like that song. It's almost like they know exactly what they're talking about. You know, stacks of green paper in his red right hand.
There you go.
That's no lie. And you can take that, you know, several different ways, and probably all of them fit. So and we wanted to, you know, touch a little bit on what's coming for the state of Jefferson. You know, for those of you that have followed the state of Jefferson movement closely, you know that we're looking at starting legislation, entering legislation coming February in the next couple of months. That process is moving along. We've had some added legal minds that have gotten behind the movement that are going to assist with that. You know, of course, we've had the legal minds of that have been working on this since the beginning, some very smart people that have done a lot of dedicated and very diligent work, a lot of hours that, you know, those guys have put into this, making sure that it's done right, helping to draft the declarations, making sure that they're submitted in the proper and legal form and things like that. It's been fantastic to see what it is moved ahead. So the way that the rules go is you have to request legislation prior to the basically right about the same time that the new legislature is being seated and things like that. And we don't have to put in the specifics of the legislation yet, the exact verbiage and the wording. We have to get kind of a marker, like a holding place, and so that you get it assigned either, you know, as a Senate bill or an Assembly bill, and the marker and the holding. And then as time goes on, you kind of structure the verbiage. And, you know, a lot of that will entail of how many counties are actually fully, completely in and filed by the time that verbiage goes on. So we'll be getting the holding place on the legislation hopefully in February, and it could take a little bit longer for it to actually go to the floor as the verbiage is written and things like that. But that's going to be very exciting and kind of start a new stage of the process where we begin the negotiations with California, because a lot of people have asked, well, what happens when you go to legislation? Well, to be perfectly honest, we don't know.
Never done this before.
Never done this before. We don't know what the reaction of the Assembly is going to be, the reaction of the Senate. Are they going to ignore us? Are they going to try to alter the legislation? Are they going to try to amend it in a different way? Are they going to try to countermand it? Are they going to try and stick it in a committee and let it wither there forever? You know, so there's several different scenarios that at that point are really kind of out of our control. You know, we have objectives and ideas of what happens depending on each and every one of those scenarios. But to say that we know for sure what's going to happen when that occurs, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, hopefully somewhere around that time and as the process starts to come forward, some of these other things that we've wanted to get after for a long time start to consolidate. People start to think more about the Constitutional Convention, drafting the form and shape and the structure of the government of Jefferson and things like that. There's a, you know, some of these more nebulous things that will be coalescing into the things that we foresee and other people want to see. And, you know, as we've said all along, there's going to be a great big fun family fight over, you know, what exactly is the rules for the state of Jefferson. But I think the beautiful thing is 99% of people agree whatever those rules are, they will be as least intrusive as possible.
Right.
And providing the most power to the local base, to the grassroots as much as possible. So that it's, we've got a firm foundation on where to start from.
Good.
And, you know, we certainly have a plethora of legal documents and documents on a government thought and the Constitution and Federalist Papers and things like this of, you know, to kind of guide our way of where we want to be.
Well, it's not like this is the first time this has occurred.
No.
This would be the fifth.
Yeah.
So we do have four wonderful projects to follow that, you know, mm-hmm. turned out to be wonderful for the other states that split. So,
yeah, it did kind of work out for them, didn't it?
So far, so good.
Yeah. So far, so good. Oh, you know, and we were looking at some of the things, and some real interesting numbers came up out of a study that was done out of Dartmouth. Out of all places, that was looking at poverty nationwide, and they did a study. You know what's hilarious? How many times have you heard now, oh, you're just going to be the new Mississippi?
Heard that a couple times, yeah.
Or you're just going to be the new Missouri.
Yeah.
You know? Well, according to the new numbers, the poverty rate in California is 53% higher than it is in Missouri.
Okay, we'll take that any day.
We'll take the being the new Missouri compared to the old California, and we'll be 53% off better than we were. So I'm kind of licking my chops waiting for somebody to go, you'll be the new Missouri. Well, good.
We're better off then.
Better off than California.
Well, at least we'll have an opportunity to do something about it.
Exactly.
That's the thing. That is the whole crux of the whole thing, is just being able to have some power of our own to make decisions that affect us, and we live or die by those decisions, but at least we're in the driver's seat of making those decisions as far as the citizenry of Jefferson. So that's hopefully where we're going to head.
Well, yeah, and that's absolutely true. And one of the beautiful things is nobody has said that there's not going to be mistakes made along the way. You know, nobody's has said that our government's going to be perfect or anything like that. But the beautiful thing about it is when those mistakes are made, the people that are responsible and that can correct those mistakes readily mm-hmm. are easily accessible, readily available to be looked in the face, and should be very responsive.
And they can most likely, my guess, is make an immediate turnaround on the issues instead of putting it into some, like you said, a committee to let it die or what have you, and the clowns that make the mistakes still get to make more mistakes.
And, you know, I think, and I can't speak for everybody, but, you know, for myself, and I believe a great deal of many other people, is we envision our state as kind of its own mini republic, whereas there's even a possibility that even if the state legislatures pass a law, that it's going to have to be confirmed by a certain number of the counties to actually become a state law. You know, much like if there's a constitutional amendment, the states of the union have to affirm that to a certain number for it to become an amendment. They have to ratify it. And, you know, on certain instances, we may be even looking at a process where, hey, our state legislature comes up with something. Now it goes to the counties to do a yay or nay on whether we want this as our state law.
Sure, sure.
You know, there's a great deal of many things that we can do. And, you know, a lot of people go, well, that'll be really burdensome for them to make laws. Good.
Yeah.
that's kind of the idea.
Instead of the 800 a year that California throws at us or whatever it is they throw.
Yeah. And that's accelerating. It's like a contest. It's totally quantity over quality with the state of California. They want to throw a law at everything. I saw one pop up, and I haven't had a chance to research it, but they want to limit the use of people's use of their automobiles to, like, where there's going to be a penalty if you drive over so many miles a year.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
Or where they want to track you through the odometer reading and whatnot.
Exactly.
And you pay a fee accordingly.
Yeah. And you, so, you know, as California goes, so goes the rest of the nation. And one of those other things about the study with Dartmouth that I wanted to get into, and it kind of gets into some other things that we've always tried to bring up, but I see that we are at the bottom of the hour and on to our next break here. So let's go ahead and get that in, and then we'll talk about some things, because they actually, for the first time, did individual county poverty rates and some real eye-opening numbers on that.
All right.
And we'll get back into that. This is KCNR 1460. You can give us a call at 530-605-4567.
Mm-hmm. When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
For 24 years, we have celebrated, and now it's time for the 25th Redding Andrea Stillwater Powwow, October 2nd through 4th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Experience dancers, drummers, hand games, drum contests, as well as the history of our land. Proudly sponsored by the Redding Andrea and Wind River Resort and Casino. The 25th Annual Redding Andrea Stillwater Powwow 2015, October 2nd through 4th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. For information, call 225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com.
This Sunday, Lake Redding Park will again be a buzz as those crazy yellow-shirted Asphalt Cowboys fire up the barbecues for the annual Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue Feast. You're invited to join 7,000 of your closest friends and neighbors for food, fun, and plenty of entertainment. Swing by the park between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and partake of the finest fire-grilled tri-tip or chicken, salad, cowboy beans, garlic bread, milk, or coffee. Whether you choose to make this lunch or dinner, eat it there, or use the convenient drive-thru, your participation will support the annual tradition of Rodeo Week activities put on by the zany Asphalt Cowboys. Place a bid at the annual live auction between 1 and 3 p.m. Eat a great meal, support a great cause, and make an Asphalt Cowboy a happy guy. Heck, we'll make them all happy. Tickets are $7 in advance and can be purchased at Lulu's Restaurant, the Paint Marts in Redding and Anderson, or from any Asphalt Cowboy. $8 if you wait till Sunday. It all happens at Lake Redding Park between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. this Sunday. Come and get it.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing.
Not California.
And you keep losing when you ought to not bet.
California.
You keep staying when you ought to be a changing.
Yeah.
Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
It's like Nancy's in my head.
Yeah, instead of walking all over you, it's walking away from you.
Exactly.
Oh, so, yeah, that kind of sums it up on that one, too. They ain't been right yet. And, you know, when they're lying, they ought to be truthing.
And they ought to be changing instead of saying.
I know, it's... You know, here we are on this high-speed rail to doom, and instead of trying to figure out how to get us off the train, they just want to put the hammer down.
There you go.
You know, accelerate it, and who cares? So before we took off on the other side of the break, we were talking about this Dartmouth study, and I had some people in the chat room asking if I could post it. I'm actually on my phone, guys, so I don't have easy access to it on my computer. But you can go to ShastaLantern.net and look it up. You can find it. All of the charts and the bar graphs on it are there. And it's amazing the amount of poverty in the urban areas versus the rural areas, when the argument is that we depend on the urban areas to survive, when their poverty rates are so much higher, when they are taking in so much more than they are putting out. And then the really, really telling one that kind of, you know, everybody takes the argument, oh, well, we need the rest of California's money to survive. And this is where this really gets shot in the face, is the five highest poverty counties in the state of California, all in Southern California. Like Los Angeles County, Orange County, places like that. They are the highest poverty. Guess who has the five lowest poverty counties?
Would that be Jefferson?
It would. Napa's in there, which we really don't at this time think is going to be part of the state of Jefferson. But the rest of it is the state of Jefferson has the lowest poverty of the top five lowest poverty. So we're the welfare counties. We are taking more than we put in. We actually have lower poverty rates than they do. So how do we count as the welfare counties?
Well, do you know what? Let them think that we're the welfare counties. They'll let us go, and we'll just keep it our little secret.
Yeah, don't read the Dartmouth study. It doesn't exist. They're completely wrong. They don't know what they're talking.
Never mind.
And take it back. Can we hit the rewind button, Bob?
Undo.
Yeah. But and you know, things like this continue to kind of come up and shine a light on things and what's really going on in California and the way that things are working. And you know, and then you get some of the numbers that our illegal alien population is costing the state of California.
Yeah.
You know, where they should be a influx in the direct. In the other direction, where they should be producing revenue to help the state and tax revenues and doing things like that. Instead, they're becoming a drain. And, you know, one of the things that I have hit on several times that irritates me is the government of California enables them to do that.
Yes.
Okay. They allow them to do that. But here is where you have the government that is issuing rights to people, that is issuing privileges to people, and can just as readily take them away if those people don't conform to what the government wants them to do. It's indentured servitude. It's setting up a second class of citizen. It's slavery.
Right.
And it drives me nuts. You know, when people say, well, where's your stance on illegal immigration and illegal aliens, I can't stand it, but I can't stand it for a different reason. I don't blame people for coming here and trying to improve their lives. You know, that's what America's built on, and I'm a firm believer that America is better off with more Americans. But when you have a government that has intentionally destroyed and broken the immigration system to where it's almost impossible to come and better your life, which is not what America is based on. And then the hypocrisy of after they break that system saying, oh, well, we have to enable these poor people and you're not a good person if you don't agree with that because these people are human beings and they are. Well, if you really want to try and take the moral high ground on that argument, how about you figure out a way to expedite them becoming citizens and productive members of American, productive Americans?
Do it the right way.
Do it the right way.
Yeah.
And give them their constitutionally protected rights instead of rights that are enabled and passed on by the government so that you can enslave them to do what you want to do. It's disgusting.
Well, and they need to be vetted. I mean, really, truly, I mean,
yeah.
We all have ancestors that came here that came through the process and did it the right way.
Yeah.
And so.
That's true. And then there's no reason that you can't and go, okay, you know, you're such and such, you are, blah, 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 and move on down the road. And there's this argument of, oh, well, do we grant amnesty to the people that are here? And no, everybody goes to the line.
Mm-hmm.
The first one there is the first one in line.
Yep.
And that's the way that it goes. But we expedite the process where these people aren't waiting 7 to 10 years and spending tens of thousands of dollars on an immigration lawyer to get into the country.
Right.
It's insane. And it's intentionally broken. And it's broken by both parties.
Yeah.
You know. And a perfect example of that is the recent legislation that California decided to send to the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court is actually looking at a kind of one of the legs of Reynolds versus Sims, where illegal aliens are being counted in voting districts. No.
No.
You can't do that. Okay. Well, because if you count illegal aliens, you are removing representation away from citizens because you're increasing the size of your district, you're increasing the size of the legislation, and I ran the numbers and roughly 15% increase in the legislation for Southern California because they're counting illegal aliens in the voting districts.
Wow.
Now, that 15% also means that we lose 15%, so it's a total swing of 30% of our legislature
right.
on top of Reynolds versus Sims is sitting in the wrong place because they're counting people that are not citizens. That's not right. That's not racist to say that. That's not anything.
It's fact.
It's fact. Okay? I don't want a group of people that are second-class citizens that are beholden to our government running loose in our country, and nor should they want to be that.
Right.
You know,
they want to come here and prove themselves.
Yeah, any of the people that signed on to that, I'm sorry, you're a slave trader.
Right.
You know, at the end of the argument and all of the BS and you try to cover it up that you're sitting on the moral high ground, you're mm-hmm. a liar.
Yeah.
You're doing it for your own self-interest. You're doing it for your campaign contributor's self-interest. You're doing it for your party interest.
And your advancement, wherever the next stepping stone takes you. Because that's what they're all about. They're all about getting to that next stepping stone.
Yeah. It's terrible.
And you were saying something earlier, too. Illegal. Okay? If they're illegal, they're breaking the law. Illegal.
Exactly.
I mean...
exactly. But if you address the illegal immigration issue, you bring in a whole host of other problems, you know, with California. Because they say, oh, well, you know, they do jobs that citizens won't, that, you know, white people won't do these jobs. So that's why we do these things. And that's not true.
No.
They do jobs that an employer can't afford to pay a citizen to do because of minimum wage mandates from the government.
Right.
Because we've broken the capitalist system and installed a socialist system where the government decides how much somebody will be paid at a minimum so they can make sure they increase their tax base.
Right, right.
The whole thing is broken, and it's when you allow a little piece of disease like the illegal aliens. And like I said, I don't blame them at all.
No.
I want to live in America too.
Yep.
You know, but when you allow things like that to happen and then you allow it to be covered under the guise of the bad guys are actually on the moral high ground defending the poor, innocent, illegal alien, well, they're the ones enslaving them. Welcome to California.
There you go.
That's a perfect example, I think, for California because they do it to us. They do it to us through regulations. You know, we're going to hit you with this fire fee, or we're going to hit you with these grazing, you know, these grazing schedules or things like that. But if you play ball or, you know, you make the right contributions or things like that, maybe you can get a permit or maybe your particular industry can get an exemption for 6 months.
Right.
It's corruption.
Yep.
It reeks, and I'm done with it. I know that you're done with it. I'm incredibly excited about the way that the state of Jefferson's headed. You know, and one of the things I wanted to pick up on, too, is people – say, well, what's to stop us from becoming the state of California? Let's say we get Jefferson and, you know, what's to stop us from becoming just as corrupt and just as...
You, the citizen.
So personal responsibility.
Yes.
So once we have actually driven the moneylenders out of the temple, once we've taken our government back, you mean it is our duty, our civic duty, to make sure that we maintain that.
Yes.
And that we can maintain that form of government in a good and clean and responsive republic to the people if we actually do our diligence.
What a wonderful concept.
Yeah. You mean we might have to give up watching a football game or watching, you know, Dancing with the Stars or something and go to attend a Board of Supervisors meeting or go attend a, you know... But, I mean, how hard would that even be? Like, say if you started up your own civic group and you took turns, you know.
Yeah.
If you had a group, two or three of you go 1 week, and then the next two or three of you go 1 week, and then you come back and report what's going on with your government so that you're informed. How hard is that?
Pass the baton. Just share it.
Yeah.
Get involved.
Yeah, put up a six-pack a week, and whoever goes gets the six-pack. I mean, whatever it takes. There's ways to do it. You know, at city council the day after, you can actually go and watch the video.
Yeah.
Take some time out of your life to ensure that you have a government and a country worth having.
And you understand what was actually said and done at those meetings.
Yeah. Because we don't want to have to go through the process of splitting the state again to get the fresh start that we need because people have grown lazy.
Right, right.
So, all right, we better get off to our last break and scoot on to it.
Your daily dose of caffeine and support Turtle Bay Exploration Park at Caffeinate for a Cause. On Thursday, September 17th, Dutch Bros locations in Reading and Palisadro will be taken over by local celebrities to serve as your baristas and help raise money for Turtle Bay. Stop by any location between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. to support your favorite exploration park. Make sure you like Turtle Bay on Facebook and meet your celebrities. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddleboards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to lakeshasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Z-Cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world, serve its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Feed it up an ox, speed front, no strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down high. Fire and a fire represented seven games in a government for hire and a combat site. Left and west are coming in a hurry with the fury breathing down your neck. Keep my team reporters.
So we're going to fix it.
It is. It's time for an adjustment, I think. You know, as we were talking about some of the things that a lot of different people have, different meanings for the state of Jefferson. You know, what that freedom and what that liberty means to them. And, you know, somebody asked, well, who's right? All of them.
Yeah.
Because in a free society that has liberty, they can all be right.
Absolutely.
You know, essentially, you should be allowed to do what you want or what you need to be successful as long as you're not stealing it or harming someone else to get it.
Right.
You know, I would like to go back to the old American system of everybody wins.
Well, play by the moral and ethical rules, you know?
Yeah. And I'm a firm believer that it can be done. And there's no guarantee that everybody gets to be successful. But there's the guarantee if you're not, you get to pick yourself up and go at it again.
The opportunity's there.
And get up and do it again and again.
Yep.
So, and keep trying until it works. You look at some of the people that are considered the great entrepreneurs and great people of America, and these are people that grew and lost and grew and lost fortunes time and time again and mm-hmm. made mistakes. And I don't think you find a whole lot of anybody that just picked up and got rich and stayed rich the first time that they tried it. But they had the opportunity to go at it again and,
right.
and learn. And I believe that if we can get the government out of the way, that we as a people can be successful, independent, have local, responsible, responsive government, and live as a free people and a happy people and a productive people.
Yep.
I think there's a lot of people in the Jefferson counties that long to be productive and have their hands tied by different regulations and different things. You know, there's entrepreneurship that over the last 10 to 15 years that I have watched fail simply because of government, startup businesses, things like that. You know, back in Trinity County, there was I remember there was a miniature mill and they wanted to start like a door and window shop. You know, they're living in one of the most timbered counties on the entire planet with some of the best grade of wood that there is. And they have a ready workforce to draw upon,
mm-hmm.
okay, a knowledgeable workforce that is hungry to work. And they were only in business, I think, less than a year, and mainly it was the state of California that put them out of business because of the regulations to get the product they needed, the taxations of what they were doing, the code standards, and then they couldn't get their product out because guess what? Here comes CARB, and the trucks that could actually run up there to get their product could no longer be on the road.
Yeah,
they got slapped silly everywhere they went from California, and it's a lot of these grievances have been taken to Sacramento and to our legislatures and to our representatives for a lot of years. Has it improved or has it gotten worse?
It's fallen on deaf ears.
Okay, so
or lack of inaction. Actually, they're just like, well, we're not going to deal with it. Not going to deal with it.
Yeah.
Just there's no money there for them. Not going to line their pockets. So why would they jump in and help out the small guy who's trying to make a business go?
Exactly. And so we as citizens have done our due diligence, have followed the process that we're supposed to follow to correct things, to make things better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not working.
Yeah.
And it's not working not because the system's necessarily broken, but because the people in charge of it aren't listening.
Yeah.
They're arrogant about it. They're condescending about it. So at what point, what do you do when that happens?
Clean house.
Yeah. Has the time come for one people to separate the political bonds from, you know, that tie them together with another people that no longer hold their interests? I think so.
I think
we have the prime argument for it. I think we've had it for a long time. I think the amount of work that has been done over the last 2 years by determined people and the new wave of Jefferson supporters that have come on, you've kind of got your old cadre of people that have been beating the ground since the beginning, and you've got a lot of new people that are starting to pop up and work and push, and it's very exciting to see it kind of take on its own life.
It's awesome to see the newer people come in when they start hearing what it's all about, and they start sinking their teeth into it, and they start getting it. It's like the light goes on, and they're like, oh, they're hungry. I mean, yeah, and you can just see it. It's like, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Well, don't burn yourself out, number one. This is a marathon.
Yes.
It's not a sprint. And so, you know, there are a lot of them that are coming on board, and it's wonderful to see, and all age groups, all age groups.
And we were always kind of popular with the youth, you know, on the Facebook thing, you know, a little revolution is always popular with the youth, a little, you know, stir the boat or stir the pot and rock the boat kind of thing. But even now, it's exploding more among the youth because they're getting it. And, you know, especially the 18, 19, you know, into the mid-20s crowd that's looking around trying to find a decent job.
Yeah.
Trying to go, where's this economic recovery at? Where's all this great bounty that I've been, you know, listening to?
They get that they've been lied to. They're finally starting. It's finally starting to click for them. It's like, wait a minute, who's been telling you this? The media. What media?
Yeah.
The ABC media is like, okay. Well, they're not telling you the truth, are they?
Yeah.
No.
The alphabet has lied to me.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. I blame Big Bird.
Yeah. There you go.
Big Bird's Jerry Brown in a suit. I know it. And it is. You know, at this point, I dare anybody to honestly look somebody in the eye and say that the state of Jefferson does not have a valid argument or valid complaints against the state of California. Can anybody...
With a straight face?
Yeah, with a straight face, not say that the state of California is not causing continual harm to what we consider the state of Jefferson. Can anybody with a straight face at this point look at us and say that they have done anything to attempt to correct that?
Yeah, no.
Can anybody with a straight face or tell us that they have a better solution than what we're up to?
Well, nobody has even offered one iota toward a solution at this point.
Keep It California has offered a solution.
Keep It California.
Keep It California. Continue to do the same things that we've been doing and just talk a little bit more to our representatives.
But that doesn't help.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Our representatives, even if they did 100% of what we wanted, they're still outnumbered. They're not going to get anywhere. They're not going to be able to do anything. Their hands are tied.
Exactly.
So, and until they do that, they're going to make noise doing it, and they're not doing it. So, you know, then it's twofold. It's against all of us up here in the Jefferson Territory.
Yeah.
It's twofold. We don't have the numbers, number one, and then our representatives aren't even on the wagon.
No, they're not. And I think one of the biggest things that has hit me over the last 2 years is how unknowledgeable so many of our representatives are. They have no knowledge of the Constitution. They have no knowledge of the federal Constitution, the state Constitution, of the laws. That kind of blows me away. What are you doing in government? You don't know anything.
Well, they got in there to play the game and do what they can to get what they can out of it, put their name in the books, and financially get themselves advanced. And they're playing by those rules. They're learning all those tactics. They're not learning everything else that is really important.
And I think there's some people that went in there with good intentions, but they stayed too long, and they got crispied.
Yep.
And I think there's some people that went in there with good intentions and didn't know enough to defend their own position.
Yeah.
And
here we are.
You know, that's we're responsible for putting those people in there. And once we put those people in there, we're also responsible for defending them by getting them out of there again.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's almost
and
like...
And holding their feet to the fire.
Yeah.
You know, you can complain about it on the backside, but until you call and write letters and make noise that way, call their offices and rally the groups. That maybe you have, I don't know, however many people that are like-minded and you start going down there or press
conference.
That's
what's great about Jefferson government. I'm not going to call you. I'm going to call your mom.
No, please don't.
I'm going to call your granddad or somebody and let him talk to you. All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Wynn. And until next Sunday, keep the sunny side up, Jefferson.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Greek authorities say 28 people have drowned, half of them children, after a wooden smuggling boat capsized in the southeastern Aegean Sea today. Greek Coast Guard boats rescued 68 other migrants from the sea and 30 more that managed to make their way to an island. The Senate could vote this month on a bill that would ban abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy. Correspondent Linda Kenyon.
The bill comes amid a continued firestorm over Planned Parenthood funding. Senate Majority Whip John Cornyn says the abortion bill could be one of several pro-life bills in the legislative pipeline. The 20-week abortion ban bill has already been passed by the House. A separate version was introduced in the Senate in June by Senator Lindsey Graham, who's running for the GOP presidential nomination. Linda Kenyon, Capitol Hill.
Moses Malone, a three-time NBA MVP and one of basketball's most ferocious rebounders, has died, the 76ers reported.